Today we want to look at this thought. A good confession is speaking the revelation, assurance, or I know so word the Holy Spirit has dropped in your heart. Speaking the word is always a good confession. Somebody say, I agree with that. Come on. As we speak God's word, listen, it transforms us mentally, spiritually, and even physically. God's word produces spirit and life. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. Is that true or not? If it is, when you meditate on it, that power of the Holy Spirit is released into your life. It'll change you and transform you. And this is a successful success seminar. If you will do these things, you can be successful in any job or career the Lord leads you into. But these are necessary things. If we speak or confess our doubts and confess our unbelief and our inferiorities, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I got this problem and I got the other problem, we are programming ourselves for failure or defeat. Your mouth will determine to some degree how much money you make. And this is not just some name and claim it message. This, I'm talking to you about confessing the word of God until it produces faith in your heart. And these are revelations God gave me. I didn't get these from any book except the book, the Bible. And I started on the wrong side of the tracks, and God has just helped me and blessed me. And I was reading a scripture the other day, God speaking to David. He said, I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. And I felt like God said to me, I took you from plowing a tractor, and I grew up on a tractor. I took you from plowing a tractor and working in a cotton mill to pasture my people. Amen. That's why I'm so excited about it. I would probably be a farmer or the cotton mills, they send them to China so, and Mexico, so I wouldn't be a cotton miller for sure. But I wouldn't be as successful as I am because God has called me to do this. Can you say amen? And in the process, God has given me a way to be successful. And he's called me. I think he taught me these things so I could teach them to you. And we've got several people in this room right now on the way to becoming millionaires because they're doing this. And this is truly a success seminar. Yeah. Let me pray I get through it. But anyway, Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants. I don't care what you do, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some giants. And Satan's going to show up. If you're, Satan's going to show up to shoot you down and to scare you off. He knows he can't do a whole lot if you maintain your faith in the Lord and keep doing what he called you to do. But he wants you to see a giant, to see a mountain, to see a storm. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Boy, there's a message here. And so we were in their sight. Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, they called themselves grasshoppers. And they did not have the confidence to take the promised land. What you call yourself and name yourself and believe yourself to be has everything to do with your success. If others see us in a negative light, it may be because we see ourselves that way. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a mighty man of God, mighty woman of God, or as a loser? I can't face those giants. Now, that's what these guys said, these 10 spies. But Caleb and Joshua had a different attitude. Listen, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Listen, you see yourself as a loser, people around you are going to start seeing you as a loser. Well, I don't like the way they talk about me. I don't like the way they think about me. They say these. Well, it may be because of what you think about yourself. Amen. It's So how do I change that image of myself? The Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God day and night. You see, because they... Is this making sense so far? Amen. Come on, help me out a little bit. Amen. Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, they became... they called themselves grasshoppers, and they became grasshoppers in the sight of their enemy. If others see us negatively, it may be because we see ourselves in a negative light. Our self-image must be transformed into a positive one, the way you see yourself. Don't see yourselves as a grasshopper. Amen. Or grasshoppers, but as mighty men and women of God. Never say, I can't. Say, I can. Especially, I can through Jesus Christ that strengthens me and enables me. In the first grade, I go way back. There wasn't any charismatics. Okay. My first grade teacher, I think she's Presbyterian. And she asked me to do something. I said, I can't. Boy, she went into me. She let me have it. She lit me up. She said, don't you ever say can't, boy. Say can. If you say you can, then you can't. That still rings in my ears after all these years. 110 years. Change your self-image by confessing the Word of God. As a young man, I did poorly in school because I had no self-confidence. My daddy was a very high-tempered guy. He'd get mad, and no matter what I did, he'd get mad and start yelling. You know, I was dumb and stupid and didn't have any ability and never going to make it in life, all kind of stuff like that. I didn't know he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it, but I thought he did. And that's the way I began to see myself, as a total loser. And I remember, and some of you still see me that way, but I don't see me that way. I remember sitting in the third grade thinking, what is wrong with me? What was wrong with me was the way my daddy had created that image. If you really see yourself as a failure, it affects your grades. My grades dropped from mostly A's and B's to D's and F's because of my image of myself dropped from as a 2, 3, 4, 5 year old. I thought I could conquer the world, but by the time I was in third grade, Daddy had destroyed that image. And I don't mean to be putting him down. I'm just using this as an example to show you no matter what your image is, no matter what's happened to you. I mean, we live in a far more difficult day than I grew up in. Today, it seems like everybody's cutting everybody down, attacking everybody, putting everybody down. People have such a negative attitude about everything and everybody, cussing each other out. And so you need this message to stay up. Because people are going to put you down. You didn't do anything wrong. They get in a bad mood, and they don't have any character, so they just rip you apart. Do y'all live in the same environment I live in? My failure did not turn to success until my mouth changed. In high school, and of course it's not just your mouth, it's what you're saying. In high school, I read Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and I think he's a Presbyterian preacher. He taught me from that book to confess Philippians 4:13. It's the only thing I got out of the book, but it's the only thing I needed. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now listen, you may know this. You may have heard this before. But it's not going to do you any good unless you do it. Yeah. God sent me here today to tell you to do it. Yeah. I did not really believe I could do all things. And even through Christ. I did not believe this until I started confessing this verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, I tell you, I started out here by saying confess the revelations and the assurances and the know-so that God's dropped in your heart. And you repeat those things, it builds your faith. But also, you build your faith by meditating on those same scriptures and speaking those same scriptures over and over and over. You say, well, I just don't have that kind of faith. But do what I did. Start saying, I can. I can. Get it in you. Get it in you. I can. I can. Do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. I mean, you got to say that over and over again until it starts getting here, and you start believing it. Amen. I really believe I can do anything God calls me to do. When he told us to raise that $40,000, I said, this is impossible. There's no way this is going to work. But I was totally convinced that God said to do it, and I knew if we stepped out, did I told the board, and they felt the same way, we stepped out in $40,000. And so you have to believe you can do it. There was a day when I may have just sat down and said, I can't raise $40,000. That's ridiculous. But because I really felt like it was God and other people felt like it was God, we believed that we could do it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, enables us. And what is it, $650,000 later, most of us are believers now that God really said to do it. Give the Lord a big thank you. Amen. That's the way faith works. I can do this, and I can do it better than anybody else with Christ who enables me and strengthens me. If you say, I can, that's arrogance. Amen. Humility says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's what humility is giving God the credit. It's not walking around like an old broken down mule. I'm humble, I'm meek. No. A real man of God is strong. He's forceful. He takes a stand. Can you say amen? And he will not move off of what he knows is right. But at the same time, he's humble because he knows only God enables him to be strong. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm always so very careful. Always, no matter what happens, to give God total credit. Because he gets really jealous if you don't. He deserves the credit, and he wants the credit. So I started confessing this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, over and over again. As I confess this word, it transformed me mentally, spiritually, and even physically. God began to enable me even physically to do all kind of things. I was no longer a grasshopper. Can you say amen? Amen? My confidence totally changed, and I began to believe I could do all things through Christ. My self-image changed. I began to see myself differently. And my grades improved. It went back up. Can you say amen? Amen. Mostly A's and B's. I'm mostly a B student, and then I thought that was good, and then they told me the C students are the ones that's always successful in life. You just can't win, can you? You go from D's and F's to B's, and they say, you missed it. You should have stopped at a C. Oh, well. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say is really what you believe. Well, I believe in healing, but I'm so sick, I feel like I'm going to die. I don't know what I'm... You really don't believe in healing. You can convince yourself, baby, but it comes out of your mouth. Yeah. And I'm just reading the Bible, and you know it. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Do you have good treasure in your heart? What's good treasure? The Word of God. How many scriptures do you have memorized? The Bible says, my son, attend. I don't know if I'm going to get halfway through this. No, I don't care. I'm going to do what God tells me to do as best I can. My son, attend to my words. Incline the ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for the life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How are you going to keep them in the midst of your heart if you don't have them memorized? Now, you don't have to memorize the whole Bible, but if you want to get healed, you need to have a scripture to memorize on healing. If you want to be successful, you need to memorize, I can do all things through Christ. Or now thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph. I'm saying these scriptures over and over because I want you to start memorizing them right now. God wants you to start memorizing them right now, I believe. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Devil, get out of here, you're a liar. A true confession can only come from the heart. If we want to speak positive words of life, health, and prosperity, we must program our heart with God's word and speak it. That's the only positive thing I know is the word of God. Yeah. And it certainly is the only thing that has spirit and life. Let me quote that scripture again. My son, Proverbs, what, 2:20, 21, 22, in that area. It says, my son, attend to my words. Listen, attend to my words, incline an ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and help for all their flesh. The word of God will heal you. Well, I've been going to all these preachers and all these services. I just can't get healed. Well, how many hours have you spent meditating on the healing scriptures? If we spend as much time trying to get a preacher to pray for us or some other group to pray for us, if we spent as much time meditating on those scriptures as we did those things, we would more likely be healed, at least more quickly. Amen. So what makes you say that? I believe in laying hands on people. I've seen probably hundreds and hundreds of people by now healed when I pray for them. But I've been healed mostly by meditating on my healing scriptures. Yes. They're spirit and life. They're health to all your flesh. And you say, well, I just don't have time. I don't want to call you lazy, but what else can you call it? You got to be willing to shut that TV off and turn that cell phone off. That's the biggest thief of time there is, a cell phone. Especially a smartphone. Well, how do you know that? Because it steals my time all the time. I look just every little bit, day and night. I'm up in the middle of the night checking my messages to see if you've called in for prayer, for healing or something. And if I'm not careful, I'll flip over and see something else. The next thing you know, an hour later, I'm still standing reading that best. Can you say amen? So we have to watch our time. We won't have any time. Well, if you stop the devil from stealing it to the cell phone, the TV, it would help. And I'm just telling you my struggles, and I'm sure that yours is pretty much the same. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to try to speed up a little bit. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? You need to speak the word, talk the word of God. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to prosper and have a good success, you need to listen to this message and do it. Because it's the word of God. We can make our way prosperous and have good success if we memorize the word of God and confess it in our mouths. This is not just something some man conjured up. We are commanded to meditate in his word day and night. If we're not doing it, we're in disobedience. Michael was talking last year, I think it was, maybe he said again this year, and he said, A lot of my sermons are just success seminars. And it has nothing to do with my talent ability. It's the scripture I give you. Yeah. That's why I said this is a success seminar. I asked you in the name of Jesus Christ to leave here saying over and over, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. What's it going to hurt you? How's it going to hurt you? The Lord is the strength of my life. Yes. What's wrong with that? Can you say amen? Amen. Start saying the word. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, or in me. I make it personal. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, I have overcome the world because he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. You see, this is a great confession and builds my confidence. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Who said that? Jesus said that. He said, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Builds my confidence and reminds me of who I am. I am of God. I have overcome worldly people and ungodliness. And he that is in me is greater than greater than Satan. And I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation working in me. Give me revelation of what I need to do, what I need not to do. You see, I win my battles because he lives in me. There is another, here's another good confession. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I've quoted it two or three times, but I want you to see it. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us, make it personal, Read that with me. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. That's right straight from the Word of God. And Paul said that, so therefore we know that's how he had victory. He confessed that. I confess this because I believe it. He enables me to win my battles. So I say, I am well able. We started off talking about Caleb. He said, we are well able. We're well able to raise the money for this sound system. Can you say amen? Well, that's a lot of money. Well, we have a big God. I can do all things through Christ. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. You see, confess who you are. I am a winner, you lying devil. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm a winner. Because of Jesus. He doesn't have any losers. Do you think God Almighty created a loser? No. It's a decision we make. If we want to walk in victory, all we need to do is learn God's word and meditate on God's word day and night. And then do what he tells us to do. We cannot receive salvation or any other miracle without a biblical confession. The reason you're saved is because you confess Jesus as your Lord. Amen. You confessed him. You made him. If you didn't say it just like that, you did it in some fashion. You see, we cannot receive salvation or any other miracle without a biblical confession. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. Say the word of faith. Say the word of faith. It's in my heart. The Holy Spirit drops a measure of faith in your heart before you ever saved. And when you get that know so in you that Christ is real, then you say, oh, I thank you, Jesus, you're my Lord. When you say that, he takes over. He becomes your Lord. Amen. That's the way healing works. That's the way everything works. Word from God, you believe it and speak it. With his stripes, I'm healed. You see, the Holy Spirit drops the word of faith in our hearts. The Father revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Son of God. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is Paul saying? Having the word of faith in your heart is not enough. We must speak it. We must confess it with our mouths. This is what it is required to be saved. We must believe in our hearts that he's the Son of God and confess it with our mouth. Lord, you are Lord of my life. That's the reason I pray the way I do when I'm praying the sinner's prayer. You are the Lord of my life. Now, let's read it again to be sure you didn't get confused. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, really that means in the Greek, if you confess him as Lord, that means you're making him your master. You're not going to be in control anymore. You're going to let him rule and reign in your life. The Lord Jesus, confess the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's how you get saved. You believe in your heart, you're healed, and you confess it with your mouth. I'm healed. Can you say amen? With his stripes, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. I'm just reading out of the Bible. Notice he very clearly says, with the mouth, confession. Well, I don't believe in all this confessing thing, but forget heaven, because you're not going to heaven if you do not confess Jesus Lord. Amen. What we confess with our mouth is important. Yes. Positive or negative. Amen. I've learned a few things the hard way. I had this in my notes, and then I took it out, but I think the Lord just put it back in. When I was 17 years old, God healed my back. I mean, it was a real miracle. And I'm not going into all the details. But when I was 19, I was working in a cotton mill. And I was a timekeeper. I read all the time clocks. I was in college by this time. And I was working my way through college. And I was responsible for how much the weavers were paid. If I didn't read those clocks on their looms properly, they didn't get paid properly, and they come looking for me. Yay. And so it was quite a job. And I had this, we didn't have these little calculators back in those days. This is right after Columbus landed. And it had a giant, and it's all they had, giant calculator with a crank on it. And I type in those numbers from the loom clocks and crank it, add them up as I went. And this machine was heavy. And I mean, my back was really sore. And I'm sitting out in the hallway, and the big, not my immediate boss, but the big boss over the whole weave shed. And he said, "How you doing, Barry?" I said, "Oh, I have a weak back." I won't ever say that again. All the pain came back just like it was. I'd never heard a message on confession or anything else, really, except Jesus is your Savior. That's about you. And I was just learning as I went. And this is the way I've learned most of what I preach. I brought, by saying that, all the pain came back. I couldn't even been, also, the timekeeping job was on the weekend because of the weavers wove their cloth all week, and I would read their production on the weekend. But during the summertime, I was a filling trucker that took the bobbins for the looms for these weavers down to the weave shed. And these bobbins, you pull them, is a real big box with wheels on it. And it would reverberate, and some of those bobbins would fall off. And I couldn't bend over to pick them up. I went out under the staircase where nobody could see me. I said, "Lord, I can't do my job. You've got to heal my back." And he said, "Well, I'll never forget it." He said, "I'm going to heal your back. But don't you ever tell anybody you got a weak back after I heal you. Your mouth can get you into big trouble with God." I said, "Okay." God instantly healed me, and I went right back to work. I will never say I got a weak back, no matter what. There's been a few times the devil would take my back, and it would be hurting so bad, I'd go like that. And I said, "I'm not going to say it, devil. I'm not going to say I got back problems. I'm not going to say God's healed my back. I'm not going to say that." And after a little while, it's just gone. The devil will come back to see if he can get you to say opposite to the Word of God. "Well, I thought I was healed." Don't say you're not. Quote the scripture. Believe the scripture. Of course, I had been healed. And I knew it was God's will for that back to be healed. And for me to say that, I just wasn't thinking. But God took it seriously. God's not playing games when it comes to faith. Amen. Somebody say a bigger amen. Amen. I'm glad you came to church so far. Matthew 16:15, he said unto them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that's what you say. It's what I say. Where do we get that? Well, you heard a preacher preach it, and you just decide. Is that true, or did the Lord speak it to your heart? I know he's my Savior because he touched my heart. People say, "I feel saved." No, you don't. You don't feel saved with your fingertips or your senses. His spirit touches your spirit. It's more than the feeling. It's a know-so. I know he's my Lord and Savior. Peter knew that. How did Peter know it? Jesus Christ looked just like everybody else. He didn't walk around with a halo like I do. Because he had hair. My halo is really a shine. Can you say amen? Can y'all see it? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is Peter's confession. That's what he really believed. He said it, meant it. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, this is a good confession. Where did it come from? It was a revelation from God to Peter that Jesus Christ, this man, is the living Son of the eternal God. I know he's the Son of God. I know he lives in me. Amen. I know I'm far from being perfect. I get so mad at myself. But I never doubt him because I know he's real and he's in me. Can you say amen? Peter was just confessing what God had revealed to him. That's why I say, you pray until God shows you if you're healed or delivered or have a good job, whatever. And once you get that no-so in you, don't you ever say one thing contrary to it. I know I'm called to be a preacher. You could beat me two-thirds to death, and I'd never say I'm not a preacher because I am. That's who I am. And I didn't pick it. Okay. I didn't pick it. God picked it. If you do not have a no-so revelation, pray over the Word of God until you get one. But I don't know of any shortcuts. I'm a shortcut kind of guy. I love shortcuts. I hate standing in lines. I will spend 2 hours driving around town looking for a restaurant where I can get in without having to wait instead of waiting in a line for 15 minutes. But there's no shortcuts with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We never give up on our confession. We hold fast our confession because we have a high priest that's on guard. He's standing by, and he's going to fulfill the call of God on our lives, and he's going to fulfill the promises that he's made. We confess that Jesus is our Lord for the rest of our lives. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hold fast our confession. He's my Lord. He's also my healer. He's also my deliverer. He's also my victory. He's also everything I need to live life and live godly. He is also our high priest who will never leave us nor forsake us. I confess he is my Lord, my provider, my healer, my victory. He's everything, and I just need to keep saying that over and over and over and over. The author of Hebrews tells us how, you know, most people tell you how to have faith and they don't tell you how. I'm telling you how to have faith. Get in the Word of God until you get a word from God, and then don't doubt it. Amen. Don't go around telling people, I got a weak back. Amen. You may tell other people I have a weak mind, but I won't even confess that. The author of Hebrews tells us how to have a good confession. Hebrews 13:5. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Well, we can just start saying that. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Verse 6. So we say with confidence, because we know he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. That is my confession, because I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I say, the Lord is my helper. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. Come on. The Lord is my helper. Again, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. That's a good confession. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll go with me to the end of the age. He is my helper. I will not be afraid. Get out of here, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Okay. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Confess. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Let's say that again. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You see, this confession is based on what God said. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Your confessions must be based on the Word of God. Let's all stand.